Ich plane. This is Mekakati, the podcast, and we bring you rich conversations about and around young movers and shakers. So grab that cup, because it's about time. Hey yo, what up, good people? How is the weekend? Weekend ikwaje? This is one of the first weekends. No, actually, this is the second weekend since a lot of people went to work to job. And we've been having this discussion with some of my colleagues and friends that are in January, ile nyenda mbio. It's a bit slow for others, but we realize actually, I think a lot of comments, so more people were for the opinion that January in a kimbia mbio sana. This is a strange one. Hey, Joe, my name is Ojuang Bill, and I'm your host. This is Mekakati, the podcast where we celebrate young people. We see young people for who they are. We know that there are young people out there who are making some serious moves to make this nation and the world a better place for us all. And this is Mekakati episode 8. So we are doing good. I have to say we are doing good. And someone would ask why we are having this episode on Saturday, not Friday. I kindly not ask. I'll give you some response to that later. But anyway, nashukuru sana. Thank you for being here. And if you are new here, yo man, we appreciate that. That means that the family is growing, the tribe is growing. So Mekakati is on 8 podcast platforms. That is Anchor FM, we are on iTunes, we are on Spotify, we are on Google Podcast, we are on Jamit, we are on Radio Republic, Breaker, and Pocket Casts. You can always as well take the RSS feed and play it from your favorite platform. So karibuni sana. And in this episode we were able to bring in an amazing gentleman, a gentleman who I have to say is doing quite a lot for the community, and it's such a noble job that he is doing. So the gentleman is John Jairo. John Jairo is the founder of Olan. Olan is an educational organization that seeks to empower school-going children or young people by equipping them with educational materials as well as mentorship. So we had some time with this gentleman, and there is much more, man. This guy won some very serious award late last year. He became the Edupreneur of the Year. That is in East Africa, man. In East Africa, in the Foyer Award. And to everyone else, that is to you listening, I always say you are more of a family to me than a listener. So keep it Mekakati, keep sharing Mekakati. Let's listen into this recording that we did, and after which we'll do just a wrap up and call it a beautiful episode.
So I think I wear many hats on who I am and also what I do, but most importantly, in definition of who I am, I can simply say I am a child of God. And in what I do, on an 8-to-5 basis, I am a civil engineer and also a civic leader. A civic leader in the sense that I champion for 3 sustainable development goals. Goal number 1, which is no poverty. Number 4, which is quality education, and number 10, which is reduced inequalities. And I am also an entrepreneur in the education sector. And in what has made me who I am today, I definitely attribute everything that I am to God, because I realize that I have many talents, and I attribute it to the fact that it is God who's given me the strength and favor to go about the many activities that I do. And in those attributes, I see in myself some rare virtues that help me to do what I do. For instance, I like taking risks. Looks like I have a very high appetite for taking risks. And also, the amount of sacrifice and time that I normally put into the things that I do, not only for myself and also for my communities. Sometimes I look at the sacrifice and I really wonder, like, why am I doing this? Then I get reminded that I have been given a responsibility to not only live for myself, but also for the people that would need my service. Yeah, so that is what I do. And my life mantra comes from some quote by Helen Keller. Helen Keller was a blind woman who was able to accomplish rather great things in her life, and says that in as much as we might not do everything, but there's always something little that we can do. And just because we cannot do everything, then we should not refuse to do the little thing that we can always do. And this organization that I run, that now makes me a civic leader, is called OLAN. So OLAN is the organization that help us to engage in the 3 sustainable development goals that I'd initially mentioned, which are no poverty, quality education, and reduced inequalities. And among the programs that we run, in goal number 1 in no poverty, is we are looking at, well, how can we sustainably take part in ensuring that we have no poverty in our communities. And in this line, we realize that this is quite a huge tree that we have to start kind of digging it from the roots. And in order for us to maybe realize that in the near future we won't be talking about the same problem of poverty, then we have to start engaging this problem from involving our young people who are currently existing in this society right now, and as well who will be the drivers of this society tomorrow and as well in the near future. So in this line, we are engaging our young people in leadership and entrepreneurship. Leadership because we need really proactive young people, or rather responsible young people, to stand out, to engage, and also to influence others to partake in certain activities, or rather intentional activities, that will see us combat poverty. And as well, be bold enough, be bold entrepreneurs, to engage in economic activities that are going to help us to really bring down this giant, which is poverty. And in the quality education goal, now, in terms of quality education, we are looking at, the access to quality education, which there is a lot of imbalance, looking at access to quality education in rather better schools, for lack of a better word, and looking at the schools deep in my own village, for example. There's a huge disparity in terms of, well, the materials that the students are using and their availability, and as well the intentionality of the stakeholders that should ensure that these students access quality education, not just inside the classroom, but as well the education that starts when the student sets foot out of the classroom back to their home, and to everyone they engage in their community. And now in goal number 10, which is reduced inequalities, in our engagement, this ties up to now access to quality education, because we want to ensure that we bridge this gap of access to educational materials as all, and in terms of we want to ensure that that our students in our rural communities access the same materials as students in more developed schools, either public or private, because we all have to meet outside here in the world sometimes, or they'll all have to meet, and the world, you know, will be a playground then. And for our young people to equally compete, then the education that they access then should be kind of similar, and materials, education materials in this sense means that we have to kind of give them, if it is textbooks or if it is digital learning materials, then we have to provide for them so that they can as well become enlightened to what is happening in the world, and also what they need to know to enable them come out of school as really educated individuals. That takes me back to sometime in 2017, when I went back to my rural village in Siaya County, and I visited a school, a neighboring school, and I don't know what took me there, but I think I'd gone to see the principal. And on entering that school, well, just the normal activities that take place inside the school, the students were learning, yes. And on getting to the principal's office, I saw some heap of books at the corner. So amidst our discussion, I don't know how it ended up, him telling me that that small heap of books at the corner was the was the school's library. And I was really shocked, because I was trying to compare the library we had, since we both went to the same school. I tried to compare the library we had at Lenana School, and yet this principal was telling me that that small heap of books at the corner was the library. And so this really disturbed me, because I was now wondering, well, how are these students, maybe where are they getting reference from? Like, they do not have, number one, the library building itself, which might not be important, but to make it worse, they do not have the books, and the books that I was seeing there were too little to even be used by 10 students, and yet now these books were being used by the whole school. Like, there was some math that was not adding up. And so this really disturbed me, because now I was really asking myself, well, are these the same students that are going to compete with other students when the time for the national examinations come? And what I could see in the rate of transition, like those who manage to go to university, I look at the school record, and at most only one student was able to go to university for like 3 years running in that school. And to me, what I saw was potentials that were kind of being wasted. Yes, I knew it was not their fault, but I felt like something could just be done in order to kind of just change that whole story, because that was my community, and it is not really a developed community. And I felt like for this community to develop, then we really need people, we really need educated people, and even non-educated people, but we also needed really our young people to get the knowledge that could collectively help us to develop this community. So then that is where the conversation started. Now I started talking to the principal on really how can we do this, or how can we help to ensure that number one, we have enough books for these students to use in their classrooms, and as well, number two, another conversation started about the rate of dropouts that were so high in that school. Like, it is quite rare, and shockingly, it is really quite rare to find a student who started in Form 1 at that school finishing, or rather graduating from the same school in Form 4. We were really losing a lot of young people in between, girls due to pregnancies, and young boys in who stop seeing the sense in school and start engaging in border, and since it's on the lakeside, some go fishing, or just some find just any other thing to do. So this was another problem, because these students, these young people were not seeing the sense of being in school, and that really needed to be addressed. We needed to show them that they exist, that there's a life that existed beyond that village, and their thinking really needed to be uplifted. It's like somebody is standing and there's a barrier before them, such that they cannot see the life that exists before that barrier. So then this led us to start conversations about mentoring these students in the areas of number one, academic excellence, and just basically showing them how life looked like beyond that village. So that is how all and started. And our first goal, or our first mission, was to kind of build libraries in our underprivileged schools, like now starting from that school, and have 1,000 libraries built in Africa. And that is a dream that I have shared with so many of my friends. And in as much as right now we have not even built one library, but it is a lifetime mission that I may live to achieve. And if I do not achieve it, then I hope the people that I influence will be able to continue with that mission, so that we do not talk about again lack of access to educational materials for our students. And also through mentorship, again, we also do not talk about students not seeing the sense of being in school, students dropping out. We are losing potential change makers, people who could maybe revolutionize this country, but the fire in them is not really ignited, or they really do not know that they have something in them that can make a difference in the whole world. Yeah, so those are the stories that made Olan to really come to light. Yes, so at the end of it all, what we want to achieve or to see is that the young people in our communities, especially in rather underprivileged communities, have access to the same opportunities like any other child in the most developed world. Meaning, like, if you're looking at a child in a community in Kenya, then let the child have access to opportunities like a child in maybe some developed country like Singapore in Europe, or maybe China, or yeah, just access to opportunities. And at the same time, we would also love to see that our young people have access to adequate educational resources. And now we have to talk about education in terms of the education that they receive inside the classroom and also out of the classroom, because we really need our young people and even ourselves to get wholesomely education in order to really be active partakers in now ensuring economic development of our community, of our country, and our continent as well. We are active participants in kind of a education transformation. And just like you have said, not all students were able to get access to digital learning, and it was quite something that also disturbed me as well, because I was imagining sometime last year in May, around May and August, I was imagining, well, these students are finally going to go back to school sometime, and it's good that they went back to school this year. But at that time, I was trying to imagine, some have, yes, been using digital learning platforms and have really made use of that period, while some have been in the villages not having access to internet or rather to gadgets that could help them learn. And what greatly disturbed me is they are still going to compete sometime. And in as much as the world is not fair, but for us, our main intention is to make the world fair. So in that line, our engagement, we were able to conduct some mentorship at Dreams Children's Home in Ngong to the candidates there, just visiting them and knowing the challenges that they were facing, encouraging them. And in partnership with the Bible Society of Kenya, we were able to give them some devotionals that could help them get encouraged in preparing for their exams. And also in partnership with another initiative called Tutorgram and Dutta Angels Foundation, we were able to give them scholastic materials, or rather stationaries and exercise books that we saw quite important in helping them in their learning and also in preparation for their examinations. We also did a similar thing last year in November at Heidemari Primary School in Mathare Slums. Also that one in partnership with Emerging Leaders Foundation and also participants of the African Biblical Leadership Initiative and as well the Bible Society of Kenya. We were able to again give scholastic materials to those students that we saw would be quite important to help them in preparation for their examinations. And also just individually, my own self, I was able to give now tangible or physical revision materials. I think I also forgot to mention that at some point I used to author high school textbooks. So I was able to give to most of the students that were within my circle, or every young person that I met that I knew was a student and needed those materials. At least I ensured that I gave them some of our books whenever I could. And also just mentoring them, telling them the sense in education, the importance of really using their time well during that period when they were at home, and also keeping their hopes alive, because you know sometimes the students who find it quite difficult to learn by themselves. And so just giving them, keeping them encouraged that, well, one time this will pay off and we really need you to keep on learning because we have a goal to achieve and we have a long way to go as a country in order to really ensure that we are on the right path in issues like governance, economic development, and to just reduce most of the inequalities that we have. One major obstacle that I have experienced is youth participation, because I think we really need a shift in how we think as youth in order for us to understand why we really need to take part in creating change. Because sometimes you engage with young people and what you hear is that, well, it is the responsibility of the government to do this, and we really need a shift in our thinking and just recognize that sometimes it is upon us to create the life that we want to live and also sacrifice to make the changes that we want to see, especially when there are changes that we can make by ourselves. And number two is just finances. Most of young initiatives or startups, they do not have really strong financial muscles to wade through in implementing some of their transformational ideas. But I know that with proper planning and proper engagement with stakeholders, talking of local governments, other non-governmental organizations, people with similar transformational mindsets, then we can really wade through the finances challenge, and it is something that we look up to. So those two are the major obstacles that I have personally experienced when trying to create change in my community. In 2020, I was awarded the Edupreneur of the Year under 30 in East Africa at the Founder of the Year Awards. So Founder of the Year Awards exists to recognize young founders contributing to development of the African continent. And this relates to my involvement in championing for the three sustainable development goals, which I'd initially mentioned as no poverty, quality education, and reduced inequalities. And this was, yes, a very exciting opportunity to be selected among several nominees in East Africa to receive the award. And this really ignited my fire in working towards the sustainable development goals. And every day that I feel like, well, I think I'm not fed up with this, because it happens. Sometimes the journey gets quite difficult. Then I look at the award and I say, well, this really has to continue. This is not just for myself, because one thing that was clear during the award is that I was not being awarded for what I do for myself, but for the development that we create, or we try to create in our communities. And so then that means that also just by listening to what you have been doing personally, what you do, number one, at Mikakati, sharing stories of people who are really doing significant things in their community, well, you really play a huge role, if you don't know, in encouraging other young people, and both young and old, encouraging everyone to really just do something, because, you know, we also learn and we get inspired by other people's stories. And sometimes when we hear that, well, Billy can do this, then I can also do this. And also, I'm also really excited in what you guys do in sensitization against GBV, and also around HIV in our rural communities, because yes, that is another big problem that we face. And I'm also kind of biased in my in getting happy that you guys do it in my county of origin. So, well, I think if things were to be fair, then you should also get an award, probably. Because you are also doing some really significant job, like, for real. Yes, thank you very much. I'm just trying to keep the rose bright, and also keeping the fire in our motto the fire in our motto burning, because we are always reminded that we are nothing but the best. So we really have to be excellent in everything that we do, and give the best in our service to ourselves and also to others. Yes, that is what all makes the difference. Yes, so I think I listen to all music, and but my most favorite, I love listening to gospel music a lot, especially South African gospel music. Talking of Joyous Celebration in South Africa and Zim Praise in Zimbabwe. And one jam that I have been listening to in the past 24 hours, it's rather not gospel but secular. There's this jam that was re-released yesterday morning, Nairobi by Sauti Sol. Been so very, I really love the beats of that music. And also, yes, in as much as it doesn't really talk really well in quotes about Nairobi, but I think the people who took part in producing that music, and also just creating the video and the music itself, really did an amazing job. And I really, if I could just congratulate them, but I'm really happy in to see that our Kenyan music is has really, really, really gotten to a very high level. Like when you listen to Kenyan music nowadays, it's just something else. It's just so nice. Yeah. So Nairobi by Ben Sol and Sauti Sol Nviiri has really gotten into my mind for the last 24 hours. Yes. Thank you. Yes. So, well, my parting shot would be to every young person is that we really have a huge task ahead of us. And the task is that we really need to put our country on a level that we all will one time look at and be really proud of. For instance, we really need to put our country up in the lines of, well, ensuring that we develop it, number one, economically, that our governance is really up to standard, and those who we elect as leaders are really those who will help us to drive our country forward. And it might sound complicated, but it is quite very simple, is that every day, at least for us young people, let us just try to do something that helps us individually grow and also help somebody, at least one person around us, to grow. And obviously, let us also remember to live with good virtues, virtues of kindness, virtues of love, virtues of generosity and mindfulness. Yes, thank you very much. That is all I have. And also thank you very much for having me to be a guest at your podcast. Thank you for really getting me enter this beautiful Mikakati house. Thank you very much.
Hey, yo, John Jairo, ladies and gentlemen. That is John Jairo, the founder of OLAN. OLAN is an educational organization that seeks to empower young people. And shukran sana, man, for what you're doing. Before anything else, thank you for what you are doing out there to make our communities better, to empower young people. And I have to say, man, I think we all agree that if we really need to bring the change that we so desire as young people, then we definitely must be part of that change by taking initiatives. And I think now two people, that is two gentlemen so far in this episode have made that statement, that as young people, if we leave our affairs or affairs of our communities to the older generations, they'll definitely do what they do best with it. But then if we take matters into our hands in terms of ensuring that change is there, we sensitize people, we initiate different projects, then definitely that change will come to see light. So shukran sana for listening, ladies and gentlemen. And kindly, oh, by the way, you can always reach out to OLAN. They have a Facebook page there that is just search for OLAN, and you'll see what John Jairo and his team does. And always check out for John Jairo as on Facebook, on Instagram, and Twitter as well. John Jairo, you'll always get that gentleman. A humble guy, by the way, a humble, soft-spoken guy, but does great things, great things. So, ladies and gentlemen, I think we are about to call it a wrap-up, and we'll definitely play John Jairo. Nairobi by Ben Sol featuring Sauti Sol and Nviiri the Storyteller, as well as Meja Okonkwo, that is coming just immediately after this outro. So keep safe, have fun, keep it Mikakati, share Mikakati, and see you next week on Friday, as we'll be doing another beautiful episode. Much love, much respect, much appreciation.
Man, that was some real talk. I guess I need another cup. Anyway, so let's listen in together every Friday and have some engaging conversations on Twitter at Mikakati Podcast, on IG at Mikakati _ the podcast, and on Facebook at Mikakati the Podcast. Nice.
Jana kuzwali mkaza, his family, get together kwa bed, your story tumekata. Maboy wengine blanda, wata kukulia mama, na kuchekeshe sana, madem, madem wa siku hizi, wana machali wengi, nilichapa moja juzi, ika ingia ndani, dive.
Nairobi, yule na kubea, pia na nibea. Ananiletea, wanakula fea, sote tunashea, ogopa sana. Nairobi, yule nakubea, pia nanibea, akikuletea, ananiletea, wanakula fea, sote tunashea, ogopa sana mama.